Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to the Christ the King Redemptive Ministries Kingdom Lifestyles Broadcast. I, along with my husband, Apostle Christopher McQueen, would like to take the time to thank you for joining us. I am your hostess, Prophetess Crystal McQueen. We want to invite you to share with us as we study the Word of God. It is our purpose to help you grow, mature, be healed, and prosper by teaching you the Word of God. We encourage you to get involved with the lesson. You may call into the show at 1-718-766-4583 or join in with the chat sessions during the show. We welcome your questions, comments, and prayer requests. Please visit us at our website at www.ctkr.org. This is a helpful place for you to learn about us and help us expand the kingdom of God. There you can become a partner with us and see our upcoming events. We are looking forward to sharing the Word of God with you. Be blessed in the Lord and enjoy the broadcast.
Everybody, and welcome once again to Prophetic Atmosphere. I'm Prophetess Crystal McQueen, and I'm glad that you have taken time out of your busy schedule to join me tonight to hear the word of the Lord. Amen. Just want to go quickly into the announcements. Amen. And then let us get immediately right into this word of God, and let's hear what the Spirit has to say to the hearer. Amen. Just wanted to let you know real quick, every Tuesday, 7 p.m. every Saturday at 10:30 a.m. join myself and Apostle McQueen, my lovely darling husband, for Kingdom Lifestyle. That's 7 p.m. on Tuesday and 10:30 a.m. on Saturday. On Thursday nights, you can join me right here for Prophetic Atmosphere every Thursday once again at 7 p.m. I would like you to go to our website, People of God, www.ctkr.org. That's ctkr.org. We want you to become a vision partner with this ministry. We have done some updates on our website, and we think you're going to like what we've done. Check out our media page and hear a powerful message from my husband, Apostle McQueen. It's known as What's in a Little Spit. I hope that catches your ear and your in your hearing. What is in a little spit? That's from Apostle Christopher McQueen, where he preached a powerful message, basically tore the house up, and the people of God were blessed. And then you can hear yours truly. I preached a message not long ago called Has Success Caused You to Forget God? Amen. Has success caused you to forget God? It is a timely message that the Lord has dropped in my spirit for his people. Amen. And we were blessed with prophetic word, and 4 signs, wonders, and miracles happened in the house. Amen. We are excited. We dare you to go to that webpage. Also, while you're on our webpage, check out, amen, our contact us page as well. We also have 4 speaking engagements, amen, prayer requests, and any information that you'd like to know about us. Amen. Type us, let us know, send us your name, your email, your phone number, and someone will contact you within 12 to 24 hours. Amen. Amen. Also, check out our Facebook page. Yes, Christ Even Ministry has a Facebook page. We want you to go there, like us on our Facebook page. We do want to give a shout out to all those who have been hearing us, listening to us, and been liking us and sending us your prayer requests and your praise reports. Amen. Just to let you know that we are praying for you, and we are touching and agreeing with you that God is going to do exactly what we have asked him to do. Amen. That is on the Facebook page under Christ the King Redemptive Ministries, or you can find me or the messages under Women of Prophetic Destiny or in quotations, WOPD. Like me on the Facebook page. Amen. Send me your praise requests and praise reports. Amen. And let us know what God is doing in your life. Amen. Just want to give a quick blessing and a praise for everyone that has befriended us. Amen. On our pages. We love each and every one of you. Be blessed. Now, for the big news that I have been waiting to give you. I've been excited about this. Someone out there say October 18th and 19th. October 18th and 19th, I will be hosting once again WOPD Women's Conference in the beautiful city of Cocoa, Florida at the Greater St. Paul Baptist Church. Amen. On 213 Stone Street, for those of you who are in the Florida area or in the surrounding Brevard County areas. Amen. Greater St. Paul Baptist Church, 213 Stone Street, Women of Prophetic Destiny Conference, amen, will be hosted live there. We have two packed, powerful days of praise, worship, amen, powerful word and teaching. On Saturday morning, we have workshops and sessions being taught by powerful men and women of God. And most of all, we got food. Food and more food. Amen. I'm excited, as you already know, about what God is getting ready to do. Just letting you know that I will be preaching in the house. So I want you, if you are in the area, to come out and hear what thus saith the Lord. Amen. You will not be disappointed. Amen. We also have several classes that are going to be taught, and many different speakers that are going to be coming forth, amen, on that Friday night, amen, Saturday morning, and Saturday night, amen. We are looking for you. I'm looking for you. I want you to be there. Amen. Amen. Now, without further ado, amen, let us get into this word. If you would, turn with me to the book of Hebrews. Turn with me to the book of Hebrews. You know what? Better yet, turn with me to the book of James. Amen. We want to start at the first chapter. While you're turning there, let's go ahead and look to the Lord. Book of James, chapter 1. And we're going to start at the first verse, and we're going to read there. Father, in the blessed name of Jesus, Lord, we thank you, we glorify you, we praise you. We thank you for this day that you have made. We're rejoicing in it. We're glad. God, we thank you for this time of fellowship. We thank you for being able to come before your people once again. Father, even now, I'm asking that you would just begin to bless and just begin to just breathe upon your people life, a fresh anointing, fresh strength, God, fresh wind in the lives of your people in the name of Jesus. Father, I'm even asking now that before we begin any sin that is in our lives, any sins of omission and commission, forgive us now and wash us in your blood, the blood of Jesus. God, purify our hands, purify our hearts and our mouths as we give you praise, as we lift up our heads, our minds, our hearts unto you, it will be pure. As we lift up our hands to you, there will be pure worship unto you, God. We thank you and we praise you and we glorify you now. Even now, Father, we ask for the Holy Spirit to come. We invite you in this place as you begin to minister the word through me, your servant. I decrease and you increase, Lord. Move how you want to move. Let the people hear what they need to hear, God, in the name of Jesus, so that they continue to walk out their destiny, their purpose in you, and walk out the kingdom lifestyle, that they will walk out of chains, God, and walk out of deception, Lord. And be strengthened, God, whatever it is that is going to be spoken on tonight by your strength, let it happen now in the name of Jesus. Now, God, we give your name praise, we give your name glory and honor. We thank you for what you're doing, where you're taking us through and to. We give your name all praise, glory, and honor. In Jesus' name we pray, amen and amen. Again, right wherever you are, people of God, just begin to throw up your hands and give God some glory. Just begin to worship him and just thank him for who he is. Come on, stir up the atmosphere right wherever you are. Amen, amen, amen. Now, we're coming out of the book of James, people of God, this evening. And this is a very interesting passage, but it's also a very powerful passage. And the reason why I say that this passage or this book of James is very dear to me, because I remember when I first became saved, the very first night that I accepted the Lord Jesus Christ into my life, He immediately led me, amen, into this book. And little did I know how relevant it was really going to be into my life, and how things were going to change dramatically. But I do want to say this, that without God, I would say this, that the Lord never allows you to walk into something blind. Amen. He always, if you're connected to Him, He always makes sure that you are always in the vein. And one of the things, when I became saved and when I began to read this passage of scripture, things began to happen in my life. And that's how I began to learn, and God put me on the fast track. Amen. For many of you that know us or have been following this ministry for quite some time, before my husband and I were married, my husband was already a preacher and had been preaching for a number of years and pretty much knew Christianity and was very seasoned in it. And so when I became married, even though I went to church, amen, for many years the church wasn't in me. I went to the building, but my life was not reflecting what was being taught, amen. And some of you know what I'm talking about because you're doing the same thing even today. But what God did, as He connected me with my husband, God had to do a quick work in my life. Amen. And by doing the quick work in my life, He had to bring me up to where my husband was spiritually so that we could go together to where God was taking us to, where our ultimate destiny, amen, and our assignment was to be. And I didn't have time to be lagged behind. I didn't have time to be dragging my feet. I didn't have time to go through the, well, why me, Lord? So for some of you, amen, God baptized you immediately, amen, through testing and trials, because He had to bring you and do a quick work in you, amen, to bring you up to the place where He needed you to be, so that as you walked out your destiny and you were able to go into your purpose, and as God began to open up doors for you, you were prepared, amen, for what He has for you. Now, in the book of James, we all know that the book of James talks about how faith without works is dead. We know about that. But the part that I really want to hang my hat on tonight, amen, is the purpose of our testing and how us going through tests and going through trials and the purpose of them and what the tests and trials are designed to truly do for the Christian. It's not to break you and destroy you, but it is to break that flesh. It is to break our wills, our desires, until everything in us becomes like Him. And we all say that, you know, Lord, I want to be more like You. Jesus, I want to be more like You. I want to be a vessel that You can work through. I want to be more like You. And we sing these songs and we do these decrees, but it really takes something to really walk out this kingdom lifestyle. It really takes something to be saved and to remain saved and continue growing in the maturity of Christ. Amen? So let us read here tonight, starting at the first verse. And the word reads this: James, a servant of God, and I'm reading out of the King James. James, a servant of God, and of the Lord Jesus Christ, to the 12 tribes which are scattered abroad, greeting. My brethren, count it all joy when ye fall into divers temptations, knowing this, that the trying of your faith produces patience. But let patience have its perfect work, that you may be perfect and complete, lacking nothing. If any of you lack wisdom, let him ask of God, who gives to all liberally and without reproach, and it will be given him. But let him ask in faith, with no doubting. For he who doubts is like a wave of the sea driven and tossed by the wind. But let not that man suppose that he will receive anything from the Lord. He is a double-minded man, and he is unstable in all his ways. I want to come out of, amen, the message version, the message part of it, and read that to you as well. He said, consider it a gift, a sheer gift, friends, when tests and challenges come at you from all sides. You know that under pressure, your faith life is forced, this is powerful, into the open and shows its true colors. So don't try to get out of anything prematurely. Let it do its work so you become mature and well developed, not deficient in any way. If you don't know what you're doing, then pray to the Father. He loves to help. You'll get his help and won't be condescended to when you ask for it. Ask boldly, believing without a second thought. People who, quote unquote, worry their prayers are like wind-whipped waves. Don't think you're going to get anything from the Master that way. Adrift at sea, keeping all your options open. And may the Lord add a blessing to the reading of his word. I love the Message version of it. We all grew up on King James version of it, but we got to consider some things. He said, it is a gift. When you accept the Lord Jesus Christ into your life and you let the Holy Spirit make his abode in you, you do become endued with power. You do have the backing, amen, when you pray. You do have Jesus interceding, interceding for you. You have an intercessor on your behalf. But he says here, faith under pressure, that when tests and trials come your way, he said, you got to know and understand, amen, that when you get tested, we're going to know who you really are. And we have a lot of people, amen, who are confessing a whole lot. But when the rubber meets the road, it's a whole different story. You yourself don't know who you are until you get tested at that level. In Acts 5 and 41, he said, so they departed from the presence of the council, rejoicing that they were counted worthy to suffer shame for his name. Do you consider it worthy when you're suffering for his name? We say, amen, for some reason, people of God, we kind of have it in our mindset that because we are a child of God, then can't nobody bother us. Can't nobody mess with us. Nothing should tip us off. Nothing should, they don't know who I am. I'm a child of the King. I rebuke you in the name. But, and yes, sometimes those tests and trials do come from the enemy. But sometimes the Lord sends a test because he's trying to test the character within you. He's trying to push you to a place of maturity. Because in man's heart, the Bible talks about how our heart is deceitfully wicked. And only he knows what's really truly within you. And a lot of times we always talk about we wear these masks and we have these certain faces that we put on. One for work, one for church, one for, you know, the PTO club. One for this and one for that. While we're hanging out with different people, we all wear these different masks. But behind closed doors, amen, He knows who we really are. And the test comes is when the minute you say, I'm saved, I'm sanctified, I'm filled with the precious blood of Jesus Christ, with the Holy Ghost, and then running from my life, running on fire. Then all of a sudden, you start becoming tested in certain areas of your life. And when that test begins to rise, then we begin to see a different tone, different tune. 1 Peter 1 and 6 says, in this you greatly rejoice, though now for a little while, if need be, you have been grieved by various trials. I want to look at something because some people still have a misunderstanding of what the difference is between a test and a trial. I want to look at the word test, for example, and give a definition, if I may. One moment. Test. Amen, amen. Technology, people of God, technology. Let's look at the difference. I want to talk about the difference between a test and a trial. Amen, amen. The word test, amen, from the dictionary, there we go. It says a procedure intended to establish the quality, performance, or reliability of something before it is taken into widespread use. Or a shorter written or spoken examination of a person's proficiency or knowledge. An event or situation that reveals the strength or quality. This is it right here. An event or a situation that reveals the strength or quality of someone or something by putting it under strain. I like that. So in other words, we don't see the strength or quality of your faith until it is put under strain, till it's put under pressure. And then when something is put under pressure, see, here's the thing, people of God. When something is short-lived or short-term, we can always put up with things for a moment. But let something last for a while. Let something begin to put weight against it, to put stress and strain on it. Then we start beginning to see things take a different shape. He says, excuse me. He said a test is measures or checks the quality or performance or the reliability of something before putting it into widespread use or practice. So that test that you're going through, people of God, is that you're being tested on the back end so that when you're getting ready to be put before the people, then you're strong in that area. Let's look up the word trial. Amen. A formal examination of evidence by a judge, typically before a jury, in order to decide guilt in a case of criminal or civil proceedings. A test of the performance, qualities, or suitability of something or someone. It says, let no man. Let's look at verse 12 on that one, James 1 and 12. Blessed is the man who endures temptation. For when he has been approved, he will receive the crown of life, which the Lord has promised to those who love him. Let no man say when he is tempted, I am tempted by God. For God cannot be tempted by evil, nor does he himself tempt anyone. but each one is tempted, verse 14, when he is drawn away by his own desires and enticed. So your tests and trials reveal what is in your heart when you are drawn away by your own, your own lust. So we can't get upset. Amen. We can't get upset talking about the Lord testing, the Lord trying me, the Lord. No, it says, let no one say when he is tempted, I'm tempted by God. For God cannot be tempted. Let's look at that in the Message Bible, shall we? He said, don't let anyone under pressure to give us into evil say, don't let anyone under pressure to give into evil say, God is trying to trip me up. God is impervious to evil and puts evil in one's way. The temptation to give in to evil comes from us and only us. This is the book. I'm not saying this is what he says. We have one thing to blame, but the leering, we have no one to blame, but the leering, seducing flare-up of our own lust. Lust gets pregnant and has a baby, which is sin. Sin grows up to adulthood and becomes a real killer. So in other words, people of God, what is in you will always come out when it's put to the test. I don't care how much tongue talking, I don't care how much word you know, I don't care how much you jumping down and shouting church every time the door is open. When you are tested, know that every evil thing that comes up is, don't talk about God, well, you know, he put it up on, no, the Bible just read it for you right there. It says he doesn't tempt anyone with evil. But do know, that when you're drawn away by your own, and that tests and trials reveal what's truly in you. Simple as that. And he says, so don't try to get out of, that's why it says, so don't try to get out of anything prematurely. Let it, when you are under pressure, going back up to verse 2 through 4, he said, when you that know that you're under pressure, your faith life is forced into the open and shows its true colors. So don't try to get out of it prematurely. As I said before, tests and trials aren't meant to destroy you. They're meant to destroy that flesh. They're meant to destroy those evil desires. But ultimately, those tests and trials that come your way are there so that the character of Christ can be shown through you. That's the purpose of the test and trial. Not so we can die in it, but that we really can emerge. But when we emerge in his character. We emerge with more love. We emerge with more patience. We emerge with more kindness. Then for some of us, you can actually minister the gospel as he intended it to be ministered. And not bringing, making people look like us and act like us and having a certain caliber. You got to look a certain way before I can minister to you. The gospel is for all. In the New Living Translation, it says this, dear brothers and sisters, when troubles come your way, consider it an opportunity for great joy. For you know that when your faith is tested, your endurance has a chance to grow. Tested, subject to or qualified through testing, often used in combination. People would say a test is short term, a trial is long term. But how many of you know God uses that in combination, tested and tried, so that he can ultimately get the glory? The bottom line is, people of God, we have a tendency to believe that we made this, we did this, we can do it all on our own, we got this. Everything that we move, shake, and do, it happens because we were there. But God has a way, and then we end up etching God out of the program, etching God out of the picture, etching God out of our lives. Amen. And everything that has been, when God is done with us through the test and trial, however he uses it, then it is proven. In other words, you are proven through the test and trial. I want you to think about that for a minute. Now, some of you may be saying, well, prophetess, I don't understand what you're talking about. I've been going through this thing a long time, and it seems like one thing after the other. When I get off of one, then something else comes. When I get off of this, then something else comes. I'm tired. Well, let me say this. God already knows what it's going to take to bring you to the yes. And for some of us, some people, they just go through easily, willingly, and just give God everything they have, and it's done. But then there's some of us that God has to kind of scrape over the coals because we got some hard places. We have some strongholds that have surrounded us. Some of us have lived hard lives, and so we're very guarded, and God is telling, you know, he begins to deal with us in certain things, and we refuse to, you know, even look at the situation. So he begins to bring a test and a trial our way so that he can begin to smooth out those rough edges. Matthew 14 and 22. Very familiar passage of scripture. It says, immediately after this, Jesus is that his disciples get back into the boat and cross to the other side of the lake while he sent the people home. After sending them home, he went up into the hills by himself to pray. Night fell while he was there alone. Meanwhile, the disciples were in trouble far away from land, for a strong wind had risen and they were fighting heavy waves. About 3:00 in the morning, Jesus came towards them walking on the water. When the disciples saw him walking on the water, they were terrified. In their fear, they cried out, "It's a ghost." But Jesus spoke to them at once. "Don't be afraid," he said. "Take courage. I am here." And for somebody tonight, the Lord is saying to you, don't be afraid. Take courage. He is near. He said, then Peter called to him, "Lord, if it's really you, tell me to come to you, walking on the water." Now, verse 28 is when Jesus begins to test the mettle of Peter and the disciples. He actually tested the disciples, but it was Peter that actually opened up his mouth and responded. He said, then Peter called to him and said, "Lord, if it's really you, tell me to come walk on the water." Verse 29 says, "Yes, come." And Peter went over the side of the boat and walked on the water towards Jesus. But when he saw the strong wind and the waves, he was terrified and began to sink. And many of us are stuck right here on verse 30 because the Lord has already spoken. You done received a prophetic word. He done spoke to you out of the word in your private Bible study time. He done spoke to you in prayer. He said, listen, take courage. I'm here. Don't be afraid. The winds begin to blow. you said, well, Lord, okay, I'm getting ready to step out. I'm stepping out with that new business. I'm stepping out with that new ministry. I'm stepping out on that new job or whatever God has told you and birthed in your spirit to do. He says, come on now, step on out. And you do. And then all of a sudden, as you begin to step, things start shifting and shaking and rocking. And then what we do, huh, instead of completely focusing in on him, now you have to look up just one scripture up. When Peter, as long as Peter kept his eyes on Christ, he was walking on the water. He was performing the miracle. He was doing what no man or human nature could do. As long as he kept his eyes focused on him. But in verse 31, he said, right before then, he said, but when he saw the strong wind and waves, he was terrified and began to sing, save me, Lord, he shouted. Right here, Peter's faith failed. He couldn't pass the test. Jesus immediately reached out and grabbed him. You have so little faith. He said, why did you doubt me? Jesus gives him the results of his faith test that he failed. And for many of us, we're constantly failing because our faith is so little. We always look with our eyes and what I can touch and what I can feel and what, as long as I got my hand on it, I you know, I'm from Missouri, you know, show me and then I'll believe. The Bible says, bless them that believe and do not see. Now, how is it that we could go up and ask the Lord into our lives and actually receive salvation? It takes faith to believe in something or someone you cannot see. And we have no problem with running up to get saved, but we have a problem when we have to operate what we've already made our confession in. So we can get to the door, but when it's time to walk through the door, then we have issues. And Jesus basically rebuked him, and immediately, as he was saving him, he reached out his hand and grabbed him and said, you have so little faith. Why did you doubt me? And for many of you, you done become frustrated. You done become aggravated. You done become disillusioned with the church, disillusioned with the people, the church people, disillusioned with the pastor, the apostle, and all of them. So I don't know why they keep saying the same thing, and ain't nothing changing. Well, maybe because you refuse to change. You refuse to put your trust in God. Let me say this. It is responsibility here to live a Christian life. It's not enough. No one can get you into heaven. There is a pattern. There is a lifestyle. There is a change that must happen in your life. And we need to see the change as you go towards the glory. But we can't continue to walk and do the same thing we've been doing the minute we 5 years ago, 10 years ago, 15 years ago, and think it's acceptable. God is challenging us to change this day. Many words he has spoken into your life and over your life, and you're still waiting for the manifestation, but some of us are refusing to get out the boat. Some of us have only took two steps and started sinking because of the winds and waves. How is it, amen, that we think that the minute that God speaks something that we should not be, that nothing should happen, I should just walk in and the heavens should shine down on me and the angels should come out of heaven with their wings and don't let me stub my toe against a rock? Can you still trust him? I think the old saints used to say it. Can you still trust him when you can't trace him? You got to know in this hour, you got to know that you know that you know what God has told you to do and continuously walk towards your assignment and your destiny in him, regardless of who thinks that you are boo-boo crazy, the fool. If you have gotten a word from and confirmation after confirmation upon their work. There is no excuse, people of God, why you are still remaining in the boat. There is no excuse, people of God, why we are still not walking on the water. Verse 32 says, and when he climbed back into the boat, the wind stopped. Test done. You failed. Reset. And many of us are caught in that place because many of us are going round and round. All right, I'm going to take y'all back for a half a second. Keith Sweat wrote a song, Mary Go Round and Around and Around. And for many of us in our Christian walk, we're going round and around because we refuse to learn the lesson. We refuse. We keep failing the test. And let me say this. Many of us keep failing the test at the same place. Anything that's done over and over and over and you're looking for a different result is also known as insanity. And we have some, we have some people of God who are spiritually insane because they refuse, amen, they refuse to change their mindsets. They refuse to acknowledge Christ. They refuse to take courage. They refuse to step out in faith. They refuse to let the test and trial shape them. They refuse to let the character of Christ be molded and birthed in them. I know y'all don't want to hear this tonight, but I'm going to say it anyway. I got the mic tonight, so I'm going to say what I want to say. It's all for your good. Excuse me. And the thing is, God is not trying to hide anything. Let me say this. God is not trying to keep anything from us. He wants to bless us. If it wasn't so, it wouldn't be in his word. He wants you to be the best that you can be. Why? Because that brings him glory. He wants his children to give him glory. But you have to realize that every time you fail the test, you have to go through the remedial. Just like in school, when you fail a portion of the test, you got to go through remedial classes. And then you have to take the test again. But this time when you take the test, it's different questions. Same principle, same procedure, but it's different questions. And you have to apply what you've been taught. But many of us, we still look for the same question. Well, this is what it was before, and I can't seem to. It takes one word to be taken out of context or one word to be switched in the sentence, and it throws us all the way off into left field. So many of us are actually doing remedial testing. We're in remedial training. We're being retaught again because we didn't learn the lesson on the first time. Second time, third time, because we're looking for the same exact question that was asked during the first test. And many times, amen, people of God, what's really happening is it's the exact same test, but the names change and the faces change and maybe the environment changes, but it's still the same question. Number two, wherever there is failure, that's where your faith has to be developed. Wherever you fail in a test, that's where your faith has to be developed. And God tries us because he already knows what's in us. He said this. But when Peter, going into verse 29, he told him to come. Jesus said, come. Peter stepped over the side of the boat, started walking, saw the wind, saw the waves, got scared, began to sing, hollering, save me, Jesus. Jesus reached out and grabbed him. And at the same time as he was grabbing him, he was rebuking him. Correcting him. He who the Lord loveth, he chastens. And because he loves us, he chastens us. And he asked them, why did you fight? Why did you doubt? And here's another thing. He said, and when they climbed back into the boat, the wind stopped. And when they climbed back, he said, and then the disciples worshipped him. Now here come everybody all of a sudden. And then the disciples worshipped him. You really are the Son of God. So what was happening all that time he was walking with them? Why? Because they really did not believe who he really was. When you are tested, the first thing, and I'm going to speak this tonight in someone's hearing, don't be afraid. Well, prophet, is you don't seem to understand. You know, I'm trying to step out here and you know, I just get scared. And no one is saying that you're not going to be nervous. But you have to learn how to walk through the nervousness. Why? Because as long as the enemy can get you to stop, you're no threat to the kingdom. You're no threat to anybody because you won't fulfill what God called you to fulfill. Therefore, you leave an area undone. You leave a place you leave an area unaccomplished. You leave a vacancy, a void. And for many of us, the enemy keeps us back with fear. And most of the time, the fear is propaganda. I'll use that word. It's in other words, it's lies that are being told to you of what if to make it seem real to you. Well, I want to step out. For example, I want to open, somebody may say, God may have put on your heart to open up a soup kitchen for the poor. The first thing that the enemy tells you, you don't have no money. Let's look up that word propaganda for a hot second. The word propaganda means, first of all, it's derogatory information, number one, especially of a biased or misleading nature, used to promote or publicize a particular cause or point of view. Excuse me. The dissemination of such information as a strategy or a political strategy. So when the enemy comes at you with all the lies, with all the propaganda, he's really using it as a strategy to keep you bound and keep you ineffective in the kingdom of God. Because he knows that if you pursue, regardless of what you hear, if you begin to pursue and walk out what God has said without doubting, with all the faith in him, then he knows that you are a threat to his kingdom. But because many of us get fearful, we don't have courage, we really don't believe in Christ, in his words, and we really lack faith in many areas of our life, we start paying attention to all the lies, what we see, what we hear. All of a sudden, let me say this, people of God, it's mighty interesting that when, as I just talked about, you want to open up a soup kitchen, God has laid it on your heart to do so. All of a sudden, now, first thing he tells you, you don't have the money. You don't have the backing. All of a sudden, he starts sending people to you. Child, I tried it and I failed. They shut me down because blah, 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 blah. And he starts trying to pour all this haterade, all these lies, all this quote-unquote political propaganda into your ear. And instead of you believing what he says. He misleads you into believing his words. Therefore, when you believe in the kingdom of the devil, you don't produce nothing. But when you believe in the kingdom of God, then the chitter-chatter stops from the kingdom of Satan. You start producing. Remember, the kingdom of God is a kingdom that produces. But they produce life everlasting. The kingdom of the devil, or the kingdom of Satan, always produces lies. He comes to kill, steal, and destroy. That's his whole M.O. Nothing's changed in the umpteen thousands of years. That's his M.O. But you have to understand and be able to turn off the voice of that propaganda. Of all the voices that are speaking, that's why you got to have some discernment, and that's why you have to be tuned into the frequency of the Holy Ghost and know his voice when he speaks. He says here, count it joy, all joy, when you fall into various trials, knowing that the testing of your faith produces. That's the kingdom of heaven. Kingdom of heaven is always producing patience. But let patience have her perfect work, that you may be perfect, that you may be mature and complete, whole. That complete whole, lacking nothing. Amen? And if any of you lacks that wisdom, you don't know what to do, how to do it, where to do it, when to do it, the Bible says it very clear. Let him ask God. In other words, I need to get into prayer. Huh? I need to get my face on the floor. I need to get my prayer grind on. I need to spend some quality time with the Master. See, for many of us, we're trying to do it all our own. We're trying to talk to our friends. We're trying to talk to Big Mama. We trying to talk to mama and them. We trying to talk to auntie and uncle and cousin. We trying to talk to pastor and bishop and everybody else who want to hear. Trying to get a prophetic word so that somebody, instead of just going down, some of just turning the plate down sometimes, getting in a quiet place and getting before the Lord and the most precious Holy Ghost and seeking his faith and asking him, Lord, I can't do it on my own. Lord, I need your help. Lord, this situation is going on. Lord, help me. Tell me what I need to do so that you can get the glory out of this situation. Huh? And it says here, why? Because our whole purpose and design, people of God, when we're going through our test and trial, is that it is producing, our faith is producing the patience. Not only is it producing the patience, but it's producing a maturity and a wholeness, within us. And when you are whole, you have the power and the authority by Jesus Christ to teach and train and disciple someone else so that they too can become mature and they too can become whole and complete, lacking nothing. He says here, if any of you lacks the wisdom, let him ask of God, who gives to all men liberally and without reproach, it will be given him. In other words, God is no respecter of person. They that call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. They that call, that believe in their God, shall do great exploits. But you got to first believe that he is. And you also got to realize that you don't have all the answers, that everybody around you may not have all the answers, that the only one who has the answer to everything that you need is in him, which is God the Father. And we are responsible, amen, to get our faith into his faith and to tune our ears to his voice so that we may be guided, amen, the proper way and give and bringing him glory all the while. When you're falling into those various trials, he said, count it all joy. When the bills are due, Lord, I thank you. Lord, I praise you. huh? When the kids is acting crazy, Lord, I thank you. Lord, I praise you because you're working this situation out. Lord, you're saving my son. You're saving my daughter. Lord, I thank you. All my bills are paid. Lord, you're bringing in the finances. You're keeping me. I give your name glory. You're basically saying that even though I'm going through things, God, I love you more. I give your name praise more than I give this situation. I'm not over here grumbling and complaining. For many of us, we just need to shut our mouths because we're too busy keeping things alive. The minute that God is trying to kill it, we're still trying to resuscitate it. That's why we keep falling into the various trials and refusing to get out because we will not sometimes just open up our mouth and give him some praise. I dare you to try it. It does work. I'm a witness. It works. There were times in the early parts of our marriage, Apostle and myself, we didn't have the money. And the light company was coming and was talking about, no, we're not making any arrangements for you. We're getting ready to turn these lights off. I said, well, can you just hold on? Just wait two more. No, we're not waiting two more days. I opened up. I said, okay, Lord. I opened up my mouth instead of complaining and crying about what it was and how bad I was being treated. I began to open up my mouth and give God some glory. I began to magnify him. I began to thank him for who he was. I began to worship him in the beauty of his holiness. The Holy Spirit came in. Began to speak, said, just trust me, I got this. It's going to be all right. I said, I thank you, Lord. And I praised and glorified him and worshiped him until I got the release in my spirit. Let me tell you something, people of God. And when I got released, those lights, we're sitting up there, my husband and I, we come home the next day, lights are still on. We come home the following day, lights are still on. Finally, the money came through. I called the company, the light company. I said, I have the money. I'm ready to pay. They said, okay, we'll send somebody to put your lights back on. Huh? People of God, the lights were never cut off. And when I spoke to that operator, she said, those lights have been out for a week. Uh-huh. But God, do you hear what I'm telling you? Sometimes you just got to give it and count it all joy. But as you're counting it, he said, let him ask in faith without doubting. Don't doubt. Just ask him in faith and walk away believing that God's going to do it. Come on, let's pray. Father, right now in Jesus' name, I thank you. I glorify you. You are the great I am. I worship your name. You are holy. I thank you, God, for what you're doing in not only my life, but the lives of your people. In the mighty name of Jesus, God, help us to be able to trust you beyond everything we see, touch, smell, and taste. Help us to trust you, not believe the lies of the kingdom, the lies of the enemy, but to believe the truth of the kingdom of God in the mighty name of Jesus. Now, Father, I thank you right now for this word. I thank you that you're teaching us and you're training us and you're bringing us into a new maturity in you, and you're challenging us to change. In Jesus' name we pray, amen. For those of you who are not saved, repeat this word. Father, I'm a sinner. Come into my heart and my life. Make your abode in me. Save me from the inside out. I'm yours completely to do as you want me to do. In Jesus' name, amen. If you prayed that prayer, welcome, man of God, welcome, woman of God, into the kingdom of God. We pray that the Lord will lead you to a Bible teaching and believing church that is teaching and preaching the unadulterated gospel of Jesus Christ. Well, go to my website, www.ctkr.org. Click on the media page and tab. Learn more about me. Listen to the messages that God dropped in my spirit and my husband's spirit. Also wanted to let you know, once again, October 18th and 19th, Women of Prophetic Destiny is hosting a conference in the beautiful sunny state of Cocoa, Florida. I want to see you there at Greater St. Paul, 213 Stone Street. Listen, men and women of God, Amen. I love y'all. I love y'all so much. I pray that God begins to continuously bless you and to do a mighty work in your life. And I am Prophetess Crystal McQueen, and I will see you next week right here, 7 o'clock, for Prophetic Atmosphere. Be blessed in the Most High God. Have a wonderful evening.